Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Entree Architect Podcast is now a member of Gable Media, the multimedia network that empowers global leaders in the architecture, engineering, and construction industries. Gable creates and distributes audio and video content that informs and entertains an audience dedicated to building a better world. Visit Gable Media to listen and subscribe to all your favorite architecture podcasts at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. Hello, my name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each and every week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 333, Building an Architecture Camp for Fun and Profit, with Kenya and Matt Forget of 5 Archicamp. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, RCAT, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM specifications, and so much more for free at rcat.com, and Gusto, easy online payroll, benefits, and HR built for modern small businesses like ours. Kenya and Matt Forget, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you for having us. We're happy to be here.
Thank you. We're very excited.
It's great to have you here. Kenya and Matt Forget is a wife and husband team who co-created 5 Architecture, established in 2018, and 5 Archicamp, launched just this May in 2020, and both originated from the 5, the number 5. It's a representation of their family of 5. They are the parents of 3 young children. And in addition to that, the 5 is a reminder for their focus on a healthy work-life balance. A young firm of 25 years, combined experience working in the South Florida region, they have a strong grasp on the local environment and the culture and the needs of their community. And so they launched this summer Archicamp, 5 Archicamp, it's called. It's a newly formed branch of the firm, providing virtual architecture camps to children. And by way of video instruction, they introduce children to physical model making and technical drawing and all the things that we do as architects at a very basic kids level. And it's really cool. And I wanted to have you both here to talk about that a little bit. I want to learn more about the inspiration for Archicamp, 5 Archicamp, how you're doing it, what you're doing, and how it's had an impact on your firm and your family. I'd love to talk about that a little bit, especially within the time of COVID that we're all in. This is a very interesting response to that situation. Before we get into that conversation, I want to know your origin stories. I want to start with Kenya. Go back as far as you'd like to. Talk about where you discovered architecture, what inspired you to become an architect, and share that story to where you are today.
You know, Mark, as far as I can remember, as long as I can remember, I was always a creative child. I always enjoyed whenever I could find an art class of coloring and drawing, that was my thing. And I enjoyed those, and I was always looking for those. One of my earliest memories about architecture was waking up Saturday morning, and I would wait for the newspaper to arrive, and I would get the home section of the paper, and I would look at the plans, all the floor plans. That was my only, you know, my only way of getting floor plans. And I would walk through them. I think I even played with them in a sort of like dollhouse kind of format, where I would walk through the room and imagine them. And I would draw the plans, trace them, and then I would do my own design. So I think this is like elementary school. So for a very long time, I've enjoyed, you know, architecture in that sense. From then, after that, I think in middle school, I always looked for those classes that were related to architecture. And at the time, it was mostly drafting classes. So I was taking a lot of drafting classes in middle school into high school. And I know that in my senior year of high school, there was the opportunity to do an internship. And I said, let me try it out. You know, let's see what architecture is about. And I asked to intern at an architecture firm. And it was amazing. I mean, that's kind of, I think, when I really fell in love with it, just being in that office space and seeing what they were doing. I was doing blueprints. I was helping out with sets and presentations. But just being in there, I think that's when my love really, you know, settled in. And I knew what I wanted to do. And I knew that I wanted to go on and study architecture in college. And that, I feel like that's really how it started for me, you know.
And so where did you go to school, and how did you get to where you are now with Five Architecture?
Yeah, so I went to FIU in Miami, and I studied architecture there, went on to FAU to finish my degree, and I met Matt.
You met Matt at FIU. At school?
At school, right. We met our freshman year in college, and we were friends throughout college. And it wasn't until we were husband and wife many years later, and we had started our family, that we always knew we wanted to open up our own firm. That was the dream. And once we had our family established, that's when we took that plunge to start our own firm.
And did you work in separate firms before that, when you left school?
We did. So right out of after college, we both worked at separate firms. We worked there for some time, and then I left when we started having kids, and I was home with the kids until we started the firm, and that was my reintroduction to architecture, working part-time for a Five Architecture.
Yeah, great. All right, so Matt, what about you? Where does it all start for you?
So I think one of the coolest things about us, about our journey, we were 1 month apart in age. And when we met and started talking about our childhood, our upbringing, our past, we seem to have a similar story. And it's really kind of interesting. It's really fun. And I'll roll back to when I was a small child. My father was a contractor building homes. So growing up, I was always on the job site, always walking through unfinished stud walls, kind of hanging out, playing, really immersing in the process or in the unfinished product of architecture, and was always in that environment, always exposed to it, always really felt the connection to building, to creating. So, you know, that's young age, Matt, on job sites. Move forward, middle school, we're in, you know, drafting classes, being exposed to the same things. I have the same story, Saturday mornings, newspapers out, flipped open, and I'm tracing and drawing and imagining these floor plans and looking at the layouts to see, you know, how I can change them, what I like, what courtyard house is cool, what, you know, all these like different things that were happening, you know, in the early 90s. And we were probably doing the same thing on the same time on every Saturday morning. So it's really kind of poetic in a sense,
yeah,
that we both have origin story, as you call it. So middle school happens, high school happens. My interests, obviously, were still in architecture. I gained a passion for theater and began to do design work for the theater department in high school. So I designed sets, created those from, you know, the studying a script to designing the set to actually building the set. So still doing the design build creation process. And when it came time for college, there was no question in my mind what I was doing. I was doing architecture and found myself in Miami at Florida International University. First day, we were both in Design 1 class together. Not sure what we're about to get into, what's coming at us. And that's when that, you know, that college journey began that we all were exposed to. And, you know, from there, obviously, we had the traditional college experience of studio, of the pragmatic kind of study portions. We followed that all the way through, like Kenya mentioned, into our post-undergrad work at Florida Atlantic University. Received a five-year degree there and immediately started working. I started at a firm here in Boca right out of school and was there all the way through for 15 or 16 years when we decided it was time for us to, with your inspiration and guidance and forms and knowledge, we did it. We took the leap and, you know, haven't turned back since. It's been an amazing journey. We've really been blessed to have a lot of opportunities as a result of that decision. So, you know, that is now 2008. And we have a firm, a new young firm that we created that we've loved, that gave us that work-life balance that we were looking for. And, two years in almost now, we kind of found ourselves in a position where we saw an opportunity and thus bringing us here today to share with you FiveArchiCamp.
Yeah, that's a great story. So you knew each other in undergrad as well? So you went to school in both places together?
Correct. Yeah.
So were you a couple from the beginning? Were you a couple all the way through architecture studio, or is that sort of a bumpy ride?
No. We were friends the first 3 years, not until our senior year at FIU or last year there did we become a couple. And then we dated the post-grad years.
Yeah. So did you back then, did you always talk about having your own firm? Was it always part of the plan as soon as you knew that you were going to be together?
I think so. I feel like we've had this dream for a long time. Once we knew we were going to be together, like you said, we knew we wanted to be, you know, both the same firm. So, yeah. But I think even before that, individually, we both had that dream, you know, somehow, some way we were going to make that happen.
Yeah. So both entrepreneur architects.
In the full sense, definitely. I think one of the things that's unique about us that we really saw as an asset to doing that and taking that leap and going down that path is our complementary traits. Without even talking about it, we know who's taking one thing, who's taking the other, who's stronger in one area, and vice versa. So it's an amazing kind of union and, you know, many facets that have blessed me. We've been really fortunate to have that, you know, kind of in our back pocket, so to speak, guiding all of the things that we do.
Yeah. What are your roles? Because I get that question a lot because of Anne Marie and myself. Yeah. You know, what are the roles that you each play, and are they formal? Are they like, this is my zone and this is your zone, or are they sort of a little messy?
You want to take that
one? I think they're a little messy, but we just like Matt said, we know, you know, I tend to go towards the creative side, and Matt is great with
spreadsheets
and numbers and the technical, you know, and, you know, like I said, I'm working part time. So he does take the lead role in almost everything because he's there day to day. So you know, it's kind of messy.
yeah.
But I think with our evolution into the FiveArchiCamp, we've, we've switched, and I've taken more of a supporting role in this endeavor because of what it is, how we're presenting the product, the experience, and how we make a connection with our clients, our customers in this sense, I guess. Who do we make a connection with? What's our avatar for the kind of perfect client? And we've realized that we need to switch.
Yeah, so I want to get into Five Archicamp, but before that, I want to have a little bit of context in terms of your firm. So you practice in Florida. What type of projects are you doing?
So my background is in corporate office. We both had a very strong background in corporate office, office interiors, and was kind of the meat of my experience and both of our experience throughout our professional life elsewhere. As we've formed our business and built relationships and fostered new relationships, continued on old ones, our workload has kind of shifted a bit into more of a church, educational, restaurant. Those are kind of like the main,
so
the 80%
more institutional work.
Institutional, yes, definitely. A lot of repeat clients. And with that, we've focused our energies and efforts on those relationships, those long-term relationships that we've had, making sure that they are sustained, that they're satisfied, and will continue to provide us with that, those projects that are new. Obviously, at the same time, we're always working to build new client relationships, more than just the one-off opportunities. So we've looked for those opportunities within that new envelope of project types, and are seeing that it's doing well. Obviously, with the pandemic and things, we have seen a dip in some of the funding and support for those types of projects. But at the end of the day, I think the relationships are there. So as this comes and goes, the relationship is still present. And when everyone feels more comfortable to continue to invest, we kind of pick back up where we left off. So I think that's kind of our overall structure, as if you will, related to work types.
Yeah. Do you have a staff? Do you have employees?
We don't. Before things kind of went down, we did have some contract employees that were working for us on a per project basis. Right now, we've balanced our workload to the point where we're able to sustain and take care of all the titles ourselves right now, and have that support should we need it. And hopefully when, very soon things will change and we can build back that support system. For that, it's worked out great. It, I think, was probably modeled after your kind of ideas as well. So
I'm glad I could help. This episode is supported by our platform sponsors, Arcat and Gusto. You know, it might be a while before we start attending trade shows again. So what's your plan? What's your plan to stay up to date with new building products and building materials, information, all of that stuff that you find when you go to your expo? Arcat works with leading manufacturers to showcase their products and host their technical data. You can see what's new from your favorite manufacturers, or find a product that you didn't even know you needed, just like you do when you walk the floor at your favorite expo. Looking for a way to keep up with your continuing education requirements? Did you know that Arcat works with manufacturers to list their latest continuing education courses so that you can get those credits while you stay at home? And best of all, like everything Arcat does, it's free. No payment, no subscriptions, no registration. You don't even need to give them your email. It's all there waiting for you for free. Use Arcat to keep up with the latest and greatest architectural products and let them know that we sent you, so they know that you're a member of the Entree Architect community. Visit Arcat today at arcat.com. That's ARCAT.com, arcat.com. I know what it's like to be an entrepreneur architect because I'm a small firm architect too. I know what it's like to wear all those hats. And some of those hats are great, but some, like filing taxes and running payroll, not so great. That's where our friends at Gusto come in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses like ours. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and simple management tools all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your taxes so you don't have to worry about it. And when you're ready to add on health benefits or a 401k for your team, they can do that too. Easy, no stress. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way modern small businesses work, but Gusto is. So let them wear one of your many hats. You have better things to do, like being an architect. Members of the Entree Architect community receive 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Try a demo today and see for yourself at gusto.com/architect. That's gusto.com/architect. RCAT and Gusto. Please visit our platform sponsors today. Let them know that Entree Architect sent you and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. 5 ArchiCamp was launched in May. So clearly right in the middle of the pandemic. So my guess is that it was a response to the pandemic. I have 3 teenagers that had very, very, very busy schedules planned for this summer. Probably the busiest summer that we ever had. My middle one is a rower and he was going to rowing camp and he was going to do all kinds of things. My youngest was a swimmer. She was going to swimming camp and everything was canceled. And we were basically without any plans. We went back to zero. We were locked in the house and had nowhere to go. And luckily things came up and we found new places and new things to do. And I could imagine, and I want to hear the story of how this happened, but I can imagine that it was a similar story, that the world collapsed around you and you needed to find a solution for your kids' summers. And tell the story. Tell me how 5 ArchiCamps was born.
That is basically what happened to us. We have 3 little ones, ages 7, 6, and 3. And we also had a summer plan for them, which did not work out. I think it was in May, we started receiving emails that the camp they were going to go to were not going to be able to open. And by that point we had already been, you know, doing distance learning. And I knew basically every Sunday I was looking for activities for the kids for that upcoming week. Also school here in Florida ended end of May. So this is, you know, mid-May, and I'm thinking, okay, so summer's coming. What are we going to do with these, you know, 3 children over the summer? So it was a Sunday night. I'm preparing myself for the week, or we're preparing ourselves, and I'm looking for something for them to do, you know, for that week, for the summer. And I'm looking up, you know, dinosaur camps and science camps, all sorts of things. But I know that our kids need more than just an activity, a box, you know, that something that they can make. They need it like that video experience too, you know, and something to do. It had to be hands-on. It had to be, you know, a project. And we really couldn't find anything that was what we were looking for. So I think at that point, I'm searching the internet, on Instagram, on everything. And I said to Matt, I'm like, why don't we just make something for them? You know, why don't we just create something? And so we just looked at each other and said, you know, it could be architecture based because that's what we know and that's what we love. And it kind of started there. And we said, you know, we could possibly let others share in this. We could make a video to go along with, you know, the physical model, and we could share this with other families. And we just kind of connected at that moment and said, you know, yes, we should do this. You know, this could be something that could help other families this summer, something that they could enjoy and just an experience for so many kids, you know, and that was kind of that moment where it started. And I want to say that that same night we sat down and started designing the first model and getting to work. I mean, just anything that we could start. Yeah.
So you were inspired. So tell us how it works. Is it a live training? Is it pre-recorded? How does the camp work?
So the way that we have it set up, we have right now we have 2 different models. We have 2 different designs. You pick a design and we ship a box to your residence or wherever.
Well, that's exciting right from the beginning that they're getting something in the mail, a package in the mail.
Yeah, sure. Very true. Yeah. And so you get a box, and in that box, we have structured out packages. The packages are all of the items that you need for that day, all ready to go. So the idea was that we needed to make this as easy as possible for the kids to do and do on their own to the fully extent possible. We wanted to remove mom and dad from the picture as much as we could. Obviously, there are some things that they would need to help with, but we're really looking at it as the concept of little to no parent involvement. So they open their box. It's day one. They open up their day one package. Within there are the login instructions for access to our instructional videos. So they can do it at 8 a.m, 8 p.m. on their own time. And we've created the content to walk them through the process. So we build the model with them on the videos. And we've broken it down into 5 days with the idea that they have about an hour of activity time within that day. Just when they start to maybe get fidgety, get floppy, get tired, we're done. The model dries. They come back the next day when they're fresh and they start again and pick up where they left off. And we've really structured this in a way to give them the that kind of satisfaction as they build so that they can see at the end of one session the fruits of their labor and constantly be giving them some positive feedback in the sense of that they've accomplished something. So we've set that up, and from day one you start, on day five you're done and you have a completed architectural model. The parts are laser cut. We use basswood. We use all kinds of like great things that we got to use in school. The only thing we take out is the X-Acto knife.
Yeah.
Everything's ready to go.
I was going to mention
no knife.
no X-Acto knives. Yeah, what a great idea. It is such a good idea to from the package that they're getting, a package in the mail. I know for my kids, even for me, I love getting packages in the mail. It's exciting. Right. And then you open it up and inside there's more packages, and you open it up and it's like a gift every time you start. And I love that it is it's basically self-directed. Right. So the kids can handle it themselves. The age, I'm assuming, is like 10 and under. Is that sort of the what's the age expectation?
We say 7+. Because we've had kids that are in middle school and high school that have been interested in it. I mean, it really is a model. So, I mean, same thing we built college or, a studio. So it really is 7+. Anything under 7 is just a little too young, because we have a 6-year-old. So we tested it on him and, not quite there. He's not quite ready.
So 7+. Yeah. And I could definitely see how it would be, because you're basically teaching them how to build a model, right? So you're teaching them the concepts of architecture through this model building, right? And so the concepts of architecture are being taught through the video. Is that how it works?
Yes. So we actually begin each day with looking at the 3D model, and we just go over all, the parts. I mean, some kids don't know exactly what a door looks like in plans. So we kind of, talk them through the architecture part of it and the building components and all of that. And then while we're building the model, we talk about model building techniques and more, architecture. So it's a little bit of both.
And it's definitely, I think, information that we never received at that age. I think the first exposure that probably all of us had to model building, architectural model building, was in college.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's wood or cardboard and glue. So it's something that kids can do, but have never been exposed to it. No one's presented it to them. And by virtue of, I think, the material selection and the design, they're provided with something that's kind of unique and interesting and kind of one of a kind.
I would imagine that you're probably inspiring some future architects.
That's probably the best part of it. We receive emails and text messages and from different states. And it's so nice to hear how the kids are taking to this, how much they enjoy the experience. We have received emails from kids that already loved architecture, and now want to be architects or already wanted to be architects. And they say, thank you for creating this. You know, my child never had that opportunity before. Kids that were not interested in architecture and now are, and now want to be architects. And then for some, it's really just, this is a great project. You know, they get to work with their hands and it's just great that they have such an amazing finished product at the end.
How are you getting the word out for it? How are you marketing it? I saw that you got some media attention. That was pretty cool. How do you get that type of media attention? You were on TV being interviewed about it. How are you getting the word out about it?
We've really, Mark, we've really pushed hard on our social media and our friends and family network right now, hoping that each person that we introduce this to introduces someone else to it and so on. Obviously, we're in the infancy stage of the business, of the idea, and we're working really hard to make those ripples kind of go further and further away from us. Luckily, we have a family member that is in the media and PR kind of a business sector. So thankfully, they have been able to put us in touch with the right people and have afforded us with that great blessing of sharing this with so many people. And, you know, our social media is a great way for us to connect. We have regular conversations with I call them our customers, but the parents of the kids that are building these models. And it's just amazing to see that. And, you know, we're starting to see, how did you hear about us? Oh, so-and-so told me, or the newspaper article told me. So we're trying to get that wave to really go farther. And, you know, right now we're working on the next wave of how does this get exposed to more people. We've been talking about and trying to strategize with schools to see if there's an opportunity where we can actually come to the school and do an on-site field trip where we expose a whole grade or 100 kids or 200 kids to this experience and really open everyone's eyes to the opportunity of what we have here and the benefit of it. You know, being that maybe people aren't traveling, there aren't these normal field trips. We said, well, let's do an on-site field trip. So that's our next push is to grow it in that fashion where we can do it in person then. So we take the video out, put ourselves in place, but now we're sharing it with a bunch of kids in the school setting.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great idea. Is there any sort of community where the kids can sort of connect with one another?
We have some ideas where we want Five Arcs Camp to go, where we can let the kids gather and come together, but that's still in very early stages. So.
Yeah. The reason I love the idea so much is because there's so much you can do with it, right? These just a few models is like just the beginning of what it can become. Is it your plans to, sounds like you have plans to grow it bigger. Is it intended to be its own separate company? And what does it look like in the next 3 years?
In an ideal world, I think that definitely would be what our goal is. We, more so than growing bigger, I think one of the like amazing like things that's come from this is the impact that we've had on these kids. So yeah, would it be great for this to grow very large and big and be exposed and be a lot of people exposed to it? Yes, of course. But I think like the part that like I get chills about is like seeing these kids get an architecture book after finishing their model because they're so excited about it. I get chills thinking about it because it's amazing. And it's just a really great thing to share with them that they may not have known existed. So at that young age, I think they're a formidable kind of person. And if we can give them all of these different things to be exposed to, maybe they will be. I think it's just amazing. So that is, but eventually we would like to get this bigger, separate, and really be, you know,
maybe live.
Yeah.
The impact that you have on these kids and their families is really, I can imagine that's the exciting part. I mean, that's what's exciting with Entree Architect with me is the impact that I have. And when you tell me stories that, you know, that I had an influence in the things that you were doing, that makes me so happy, right? It's my fuel to keep going. So I can imagine that when those kids email you and say, hey, look at what I've done, I thank you so much, or their parents, you know, send you an email and say, thank you for saving me this summer, right? And those things are really, really meaningful.
Definitely. That's the reward of it all.
So do you have any suggestions for our listeners? We have thousands of architects here listening. First of all, you should all go to 5architecture.com and go look at what they're doing, and share it with all your friends. So you can say, hey, we know some architects who are, you know, have this great camp that you should share with your kids, because our community should be out there helping you grow this, because this is a very positive thing that is happening for you and for the profession. And your inspiration hopefully will inspire others to do things like that too, where if we can all sort of just do our part of trying to promote the profession in a positive way and inspiring, mm-hmm. whether they're inspiring adults or inspiring children to pursue what we do, it's a very good thing for the profession. And so I hope others are inspired by what you're doing. Do you have any suggestions or advice for anybody who has an idea, right? They have an idea and say, well, maybe I should go try something. What would you say to somebody who came to you and say, I have this great idea, how do I start it?
I think the most important thing is to just go for it. I think, you're going to feel it inside of you. And I think when we had that conversation that one night and we talked about this idea, obviously, you know, we shared this, you know, Kenya shared this idea with me and we talked about it, and immediately you got that feeling like, this is right. This is something that we should do, and go for it and invest in it. And it doesn't take much. And with, you know, social media, with friends, with text messaging, with email, with FaceTime, like there are so many ways to connect that, like, get it out there, go for it, give it a try. We did that with the business. We did that with ArchiCamp. I think maybe we're maybe a little fearless now, but at the end of the day, there is an opportunity. And if you can change one person's life or impact someone in a positive way, a day, yeah, turn just the day around. Like, it's worth it. You know, if that's the outcome, it's worth it. And you just know, you just feel it. I get chills talking about it.
Has it had an impact on the firm? Has it helped sort of keep the firm with some exposure and maybe bring in some work, or is it more focused or not?
I don't think so. I think the firm, you know, although they live together, they kind of have been, you know, functioning separately, and it's kind of stayed that way, you know.
I think they're with the idea of, you know, with our educational sector that we are focused on, it is definitely a well that we're working towards to introduce the 5 ArchiCamp to. So in that sense, there's, you know, there is the opportunity, but they're sitting separate from each other and doing their thing. And this is allowing us to really, you know, kind of use our creative juices to create and dream and forget about the code book for a little while. Yeah. And just kind of do something, right? Like, we don't have to work out all the details for this exercise. And that's really, like, liberating.
It really is.
Yeah. And we have so much going on around the world right now, so much stress and so much anxiety. To focus on something that's so positive and is making such a difference, and because it's this new entrepreneurial idea, you have to invest your whole, you know, thought into it in order for it to succeed. It's such a good idea to go find something positive and go focus on that and go do something.
Agreed.
Yeah. Definitely.
So before we wrap up, guys, what is one thing a small firm architect could do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I think we just touched on it. And I think that the most important thing, or I think one of the most important things that you could do, is to follow your heart, follow your kind of like that guiding light that you have that's telling you what is right, what you should be doing. You know, that gut instinct inside of you says, I need to be doing this. Well, do it. Go for it. Try it. The worst thing that happens is you're back to where you were before. I think that is just so important to, like, just follow that kind of mantra And I think in business, in life, in everything, I think it is my, I personally think that it is definitely a great way to guide yourself forward.
Kenya, you want to add to that?
No, I think the same, trust yourself, you know, and you have to give yourself a little bit of time to experiment and enjoy the experience, because it's not just about the end result, but really that whole process is really interesting. So think about the process and kind of focus on that and enjoy it, because, you know, eventually you'll have something great at the end. So,
yeah.
Their names are Kenya and Matt Forget. The website is 5architecture.com. Go check them out. You can see the architecture, the firm information there, as well as Archicamps is there right up on the top. You could just click the button and you can learn all about it. 5architecture.com. They're on Facebook, Instagram. They're also using Vimeo for video. So they're doing some videos for their firm. They're doing some videos for Archicamp. And they have a link right down in the bottom there for Vimeo. So you can go see some of the things they're doing. You can see an introduction to the Archicamp. So Kenya and Matt, thank you. This is very inspiring for, I'm sure, for the listeners, but very inspiring for me. I love hearing stories like this where somebody has an idea and they just go do it and they just make it happen and they make a difference in the world. So thank you for coming on and sharing your story and sharing your knowledge about how you did it here at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time as well.
You've been listening to episode 333. If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode or share this episode with a friend, please share this episode with a friend. This is a good one to share, right? Because this is a timely episode. This is something that may inspire you or a friend or an architect that you might know who has an idea that might be able to help the world in a way, be able to spread the word about what we do as architects and earn some profit, right? And build out a new revenue source, another revenue stream. So share this episode. This is episode 333. The link is entrearchitect.com/episode333. And don't forget to visit my friends at GableMedia.com. We are now a member of Gable Media. GableMedia.com will give you a link to all your favorite architecture podcasts. Not only will you find me there, but you'll also find our second Entree Architect podcast, Build Your Brand podcast, with my friend Jeff Eccles as the host, where he dives into building a brand for an architecture firm. Spaces podcast is there with my friend Demetrius Lynch. Arcaspeak podcast with Evan Troxell and Cormac Phelan. They're there over at GableMedia.com. And two new shows, Practice Disrupted with Evelyn Lee and Janine Chastain. That's a great podcast about disrupting the practice of architecture in a very, very positive way. How do we expand what we do as architects? How do we stay relevant? How do we stay valuable in the minds of the world as architects? Practice Disrupted with Evelyn Lee and Janine Chastain. And Troxell podcast with Evan Troxell. He has his own solo show, long format conversations with really interesting people talking about technology and the future of technology and how it impacts the profession of architecture. One of my favorite podcasts right now, Troxell Podcast. Go check it out. It's all there waiting for you. Listen and subscribe at GableMedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. Be well, my friends. Be healthy, be happy, safe, and secure. Thank you for listening this week. I really do appreciate you coming every week and listening to my voice here and listening to my guests here at Entree Architect Podcast. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being here every week. And thank you for sharing this episode with a friend. Love, learn, and share what you know.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, So when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.